evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I am John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, March 9, 2017. The government sets preconditions for taking part in the national dialogue.
As long as they continue to be called armed opposition and they have not denounced violence, then they don't deserve to even talk about this dialogue. Because originally they don't accept whatever is done by the government.
And intercommunal clashes is reported in the newly created Buma state.
They have five Land Cruisers, one water tank, and also good information that there is a high rank from the military in the rank of Brigadier General. When we describe it, it's looking like something organized.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government is setting preconditions for participation in the national dialogue. Government spokesman Michael Makui says people who took up arms and civilians living in rebel-held areas must first denounce rebellion before they are allowed to participate in the national dialogue scheduled to begin late this week. Tito Justin reports for VOA from Juba.
Information Minister Michael Makwe told reporters in Juba today that all armed opposition groups trying to overthrow President Salva Kiir's government will not be allowed to take part in the initiative Mr. Kiir announced in December.
As long as they continue to be called armed opposition and they have not denounced violence, then they don't deserve to even talk about this dialogue. Because originally they don't accept whatever is done by the government. These are the people who are demanding that this government must go. These are the people who are saying this government must be taken over and South Sudan must be turned into a protectorate.
Makwe says the purpose of the national dialogue is to identify issues affecting the country and come up with amicable solutions. He says the national dialogue will be implemented in a bottom-up approach, meaning it will start from the grassroots level. He says the government will pursue an armed group if it continues to fight the Kiir administration.
These people, if they don't accept to come and sit and denounce violence, then definitely we will fight. And if they accept to denounce violence, put down their arms and denounce violence, we'll be ready to sit with them on the table, dialogue as South Sudanese, so that we resolve our problems.
The international community, local activists and opposition politicians have been calling on the government to make the national dialogue inclusive. Otherwise, they say it is nothing more than a monologue. Asked how the government will make the process inclusive when it has set preconditions, Makwe had this to say.
Yes, it shall be inclusive, but this is how we see the inclusivity. Inclusivity does not mean bringing in anybody who is anti-South Sudanese, somebody who is anti-peace, somebody who is anti-everything.
Asked whether the process will succeed if it's spearheaded by President Kiir, who some say is a big part of the problem, Makwe says the president has a right to lead the national dialogue as the legitimately elected head of the country. He dismisses concerns that the dialogue will not succeed so long as it is headed by Mr. Kiir.
What is wrong with the government facilitating such a process? Since the initiative came from it, it has to facilitate it and leave the rest of the work for these bodies to do it. So there is no way whereby you can say this should be spearheaded by neutrals.
Makwe describes the national dialogue as a continuation of the implementation of the agreement on the resolution of conflict in South Sudan. Critics say the 2015 peace deal is a failure as both sides violated the agreement within days of being signed. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
Officials from the newly created Buma state say armed youth attacked Kotchar County and stole nearly 25,000 heads of cattle and burning down grass-hut huts, forcing civilians to flee their homes. The youth are believed to be from Bor County in Jonglei State. Local leaders say several people were killed. A youth leader from Bor admits they are in Bor to recover cattle and 200 children abducted last year. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Juba.
A youth leader from Bor admits that young people from Bor were in Boma State to recover more than 7,000 head of cattle and nearly 200 children reportedly abducted by Pibor residents in Boma State last year. Bor State Information Minister Achon John says thousands of heavily armed youth took control of the headquarters of Kochar County after attacking civilians, looting properties and stealing cattle. John believes some SPLA forces from Bor took part in the attack.
Yeah, according to our information, these people, they are wearing uniform of the army and they have heavy weapons, and also they have 5 Land Cruisers, 1 water tank, and also we got the information that there is the high rank from the military in the rank of Brigadier General. When we describe it, it's looking like something organized.
John says the armed youth have dug trenches around the area and are still receiving ammunition from Bor town. Krinyen Yoman, a youth from Boma State, says it is very difficult to verify casualty figures because the fighting that began last weekend continues. He says at least 7 people were injured and taken to the health facility in Pibor last night, but it is still unclear how many were killed.
We never know the number of the dead bodies because the area is not safe, so that the authorities go and do some tracing to find out the exact number of the dead bodies.
Yoman says all civilians fled Kochar County and left behind their property, including cattle.
Well, at the moment, the area is not secured. The humanitarian organizations have no access to that area. There's no any single help at the moment. So the civilians at large are suffering. They have most affected the women and children. Mm. There's no water, no food, and the rest of the things.
Jonglei State Governor Philip Aguer Panyang confirms clashes continue between Bor youth and counterparts from Boma over cattle rustling. He flatly denies that the Jonglei State government is supporting armed youth who reportedly attack Boma State residents.
These youth, if somebody who will speak on their behalf, maybe will refer you to them. But what I can say simply, there is cattle stealing going on in the region among the youth. So the government is not a party to that, though we have been trying to control cattle stealing. But the youth have gone their own way.
Ayuen Gwek Roll, a spokesperson for the Jonglei State Youth, says since December, youth from Boma State have stolen more than 7,000 head of cattle and abducted more than 200 children. He admits armed youth from Bor are in Boma trying to recover stolen cattle and rescue abducted children.
Since 1983, everybody in South Sudan have guns. We cannot reach up to this area without guns. Yes, we are armed. We came to the area and we are here in the area of the Boma State and we need our cattle. If they need peace, we need our cattle. Let them return our cattle back. Let them return our children back. We will accept peace and we will find this peace here in Boma State. We are not going back to our area if they did return these things back.
Both Yoman and Roll are calling on the national government to intervene and contain the situation before it goes out of control to a wider area. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
The chairman of the South Sudan Democratic Movement, formerly known as Cobra Faction, has joined the newly formed National Salvation Front, headed by General Thomas Cirilo. Khalid Boutros Bora told South Sudan in Focus in an exclusive interview in Arabic that he is joining the new rebel group to fight for what he calls regime change in South Sudan. Boutros says President Salva Kiir is arming South Sudanese to fight each other and that the National Salvation Front is the only group that can restore peace in the country. We are voicing over his responses in Arabic.
We in the Cobra faction have seen that the only movement which can save the South Sudanese people at the moment is the Salvation Front movement under the leadership of General Thomas Cirilo.
My understanding is that Cobra faction is under David Yao Yao. Did you consult with him before taking this decision?
David Yao Yao.
In December last year, David Yao Yao officially announced his defection to the SPLM and abandoned the leadership of the South Sudan Democratic Movement's Cobra faction. After that, the leadership of the Cobra faction chose me as the second commander to head the movement until all the arrangements we signed with the government on April 2014 in Addis Ababa are implemented. So Yao Yao isn't concerned with us anymore, and we don't need to take any permission from him in regards to the Cobra faction.
There were reports on the social media that Yao Yao was not seen in Juba for quite a long time. Do you have any idea of his whereabouts?
I haven't had any direct communication with David Yao Yao since I decided to leave, so I don't have any information about his whereabouts.
Some South Sudanese analysts in the region are saying the only way to solve South Sudan's problems is through peaceful means. Why have you decided to fight the government in Juba?
Those who are saying this are those who haven't seen and experienced the reality of the situation in South Sudan. The real situation is that the laws in South Sudan aren't as effective, and we don't have a national army in South Sudan now. The present army is a tribal army, and they are militia loyal to Paul Malong Awan and Kwar Manyang, the Minister of Defense. As I speak to you, there is fighting going on in Merle territory in Boma. Civilians from Dinka in Bor have been given arms with heavy weapons and are attacking the Merle area through 3 points. So I'm calling on South Sudanese people to join us and support the National Salvation Front movement under Thomas Chirilo so that we remove Kiir's regime. We need to have a system that respects the law, democracy and justice for all South Sudanese people.
You are a military man. Why are you involving yourself in politics?
We are army men and also politicians. Our aim is to bring hope and aspirations to South Sudan. We are working together to change the regime in Juba from its roots and bring a new system that is transparent and democratic with justice and equality present to all South Sudanese people.
How many soldiers from the South Sudan Democratic Army have joined this National Salvation Front?
This is not a place to disclose the number of our army, but we are calling our people in Merle land and all South Sudanese people to let us unite and support the National Salvation Front under Thomas Chirilo. I can't tell you now how many we are, but the coming days will answer that question.
Our listeners might want to know why you have decided to join Thomas Chirilo and not Dr. Lamar Call or Riek Machar or Johnson Oloy.
Many people still think that the current war in South Sudan is just between the two tribes, Dinka and Nuer. Why don't we give chance to those who did not have previous experience in South Sudan and support unity among our people? If you decide to join Riek Machar, Dinkas will say we have joined the Nuer to fight against the Dinka. This will lead us to another tribal issue. So we are trying to look for a new chance that can unite people of South Sudan once again. We want to be united as Dinka, Merle, Shilluk, Nuer, and Equatoria to bring hope back to our people.
How can you react to some people who say South Sudanese only like fighting and taking power by force?
We are not behind any position. What we need is to bring hope, justice and equality to the South Sudanese people. What we have in Juba is not a government because they like fighting. As you might know, the government announced the national dialogue in Juba, and at the same time, they are arming some civilians to attack others. So we need to change that regime from its roots.
That's Khalid Boutros Bora, the chairman of the South Sudan Democratic Movement, formerly known as Cobra Faction. He was speaking to me in Arabic from an undisclosed location yesterday. Former journalist Alan Boswell, who is now a researcher and conflict analyst, says the alignment of Khalid Boutros with General Chirilo's National Salvation Front is not a game changer and of itself. Boswell says he is waiting to see if the alignment is an isolated case or if it will trigger a wider flow of support both regionally and nationally to Chirilo's rebel group. something Boswell says will need to happen if the group is to make any real impact.
For one, they're not from the same community, and they're not even from the same region in South Sudan. So it gives it a bit of a broader look. The other thing that's interesting about it is Khalid was tied to Lama Cole for quite a while, who tried to start a rival opposition rebellion and failed. And even though Khalid was tied to him, he never actually joined Lam's movement. So it's interesting that Khalid made the step of outright joining Cirilo, because he actually hadn't done that before with Lama Cole. So I wouldn't put too much into this. I don't know anyone who's looking at this as a game changer. I think it's people are trying to read the tea leaves right now on who is actually going to join Cirilo and if Cirilo has managed to get regional support from either Ethiopia or Sudan. And I think basically people are seeing, is this just Khalid Boutros, or are there other players who are soon to follow? I think Khalid Boutros on his own, plus Thomas Cirilo isn't going to amount to anything. It's more now about the broader narrative.
The national dialogues that the government is setting up, could they actually end the conflict and bring warring sides together?
A national dialogue, if structured properly, could go a long way and is actually fairly close to, I think, what South Sudan needs. A national dialogue led by the government basically it's impossible for that to work, because it'll preclude the one the one precondition to any solution, which will be a new form of power and probably a new structure for the state in South Sudan. So any of the national dialogue is led by the government. I have basically as little hope as you possibly could have for it, just because structurally it's not going to address the problem that is that clearly needs to be addressed. The other point, which I don't know if I really touched on except briefly, is that what a lot of this boils down to, unfortunately, is whether or not he has gotten the external backing of Ethiopia or Sudan. It'll be extremely difficult for him to recruit, any of these groups onto his side, or to put up much of a military fight if he hasn't done that. Logistics are, it's extremely hard to wage a war against the government if you don't have any logistics or arms. So there's kind of like a couple really basic things that he needs among all this intrigue. And if he has them, I expect things to shake up quite a bit. And if he doesn't, then we'll probably see the same sort of splintering cycle that you've, seen continue for a
while
longer.
South Sudan analyst Alan Boswell speaking to INBR earlier today from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. The World Food Program continues to airdrop food into Leer and Mayendit counties. The two counties recently declared localized famine in South Sudan by three UN agencies and the government. For several months, aid workers said they were unable to access Leer County. Airdrops were stepped up late February. WFP has been airdropping food into remote areas of South Sudan since 2014, shortly after the conflict broke out. WFP began airdrops in greater northern Bahr al-Ghazal area in 2016, in addition to airdrops in other parts of the country, including former Upper Nile and Jonglei states. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a ceasefire monitoring team in South Sudan confirms what most people know: the security situation is getting worse. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do creative and talented youth get encouragement and opportunity in your country?
Yeah, I think if you came out and showed that you're good, then opportunity would avail itself.
Not in my country, and even in the whole of Africa, I think we don't. When you go to a place like Israel, even small children are given the opportunity to put their ideas and thoughts together, but not in Africa or my country.
They hardly get it because everybody is fighting to become someone, and it's only those who are at the top that enjoy that privilege. And the less privileged who are talented and creative, they don't get it.
Yeah, I think so. I've been seeing the effort of the government in improving the lives of youth who are the talent.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. The body tasked with monitoring the ceasefire in South Sudan say the security situation is getting worse as violence continues in Greater Upper Nile and the Greater Equatorial Regions. The Ceasefire and Transitional Security Arrangements Monitoring Mechanism, or CITISAM, says their teams were recently denied access to investigate violations of the 2015 ceasefire agreement by both government troops and rebel forces in violation of the peace deal. Nabil Biagio has more for VOA from Juba.
CITSAM held its 10th board meeting in Juba today to review the security situation in South Sudan. Chairman Major General Molahel Mariam says, since last month, CITSAM has conducted patrols and visits to areas of Greater Equatoria that include Terkeka, Yei, Tumbura, Izu, Maridi, and Mundiri. Unfortunately, he says, fighting is still raging in large parts of the country almost 2 years after the government and the armed opposition signed a peace agreement.
In Juba, the situation continues to be calm. However, we observed a trend of deliberate and continued fighting in areas in Greater Upper Nile and Greater Equatorial. The continuous fighting exacerbates the already fragile humanitarian situation in these areas and hinders the movement of people and humanitarian agencies.
Hel Mariam says, as things stand now, there is no improvement in the security situation, and things are actually getting worse for hundreds of thousands of citizens.
In general, the security situation is deteriorating, with ongoing fighting in different areas of Greater Upper Nile and Greater Equatorial. We urge the parties to stop these deliberate attacks on each other and adhere to the requirements of the peace agreement.
Hela Mariam says there are unconfirmed reports that state and non-state actors are involved in the fighting in Upper Nile and the Equatoria.
In order for the CITISAM to verify these claims, we must be granted access to the areas concerned. As per the stipulations of the peace agreement, other state and non-state actors aligned to either party to the conflict should not be undertaking any operations in South Sudan's territory.
Hel Mariam says CITSAM recommends that both parties refrain from any form of propaganda, particularly accusations of the involvement of third parties, as this has the potential to incite further violence. He also says the government must assume responsibility for ensuring the proper reporting and verification mechanisms.
We were denied access by the SPLA in February while attempting to investigate the recent fighting in the Malakal area. CITISAM tried to engage the government authorities to resolve the issue. However, access remains an obstacle in our attempt to investigate the recent fighting in the areas. CITISAM was also denied freedom of movement by the opposition and prevented from conducting monitoring activities in some opposition-controlled areas.
Hela Mariam says there are deliberate and well-planned attacks being committed by both government and rebel forces in many parts of the country.
These violations indicate a gross disregard for the permanent ceasefire, and they must stop. These actions have a detrimental effect on the peace and security of the country, and despite our continuous reporting on this issue, we are yet to see any change in relation to the commitment to the ceasefire.
SPLA spokesman Brigadier General Lulruwe Kwang disagrees the security situation is getting worse.
We have had problems in Fashoda State, mostly on the western bank of the River Nile, Waushiluk, Liteng, Warjog, and Owaj. And SPLA, they would shell Malakal from those places, and we were left with no option but to move in and clear the threat.
Kwang says the same goes for the recent violence in parts of Yei River State and Imatong State in Greater Equatoria. He says SPLA troops in both cases are always on the defensive against hostile rebel forces. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biaju in Juba.
The United Nations Mine Action Service is using music to educate people about mines and other explosive hazards. The UN body staged a music competition yesterday. The winners will record songs and music videos to inform people about landmines and other unexploded ordnance. Mungome Debs Rakarange has the story for VOA from Juba.
If you go on the road and you find the mines, don't take it, man, because sometimes can let you to die. Yeah, yeah.
Students of El Geada Girls Primary School emerged the winners of the 9 school music competition, which means they'll have their songs recorded for a nationwide anti-landmine campaign. 14-year-old El Geada Primary student Mary Akwach Andrea says she's pleased her choir won the competition, but says it was about much more than winning.
I've learned that mines are very dangerous objects, and I've also learned that whenever I find an object which is new to me, I call for help. I don't move and wait for help so that it can arrive, so that I cannot touch the object which I don't know. It can be a landmine, can be a bomb, can be a bullet. So that is why that we should not touch them, but we call for help.
14-year-old George Howard, a primary 7 pupil at Green Hill Primary School, says even though his school did not win, he learned important things at the competition. Andrew spread that message to his friends and loved ones.
When I reach home, I will do that. I will tell my parents. They taught us, we went out for out, and they told us how to be safe and don't take unknown items and report to the authorities.
By late 2016, UNIMA says more than 91 million square meters of land in South Sudan was suspected of having explosive remnants of the conflict, including bombs and landmines. And the UN body says there are still many areas of the country that have yet to be surveyed and demined. UNIMA's chief, Tim Ladner, says at least 150 new hazardous areas are being discovered each month, which is why it is important to educate the young.
Well, the young people are the future of this country. But also, if you look at the statistics, sadly, the significant proportion of victims in this country are children, because children are curious. Children naturally pick up things they don't know what they are. They want to play with them. They want to understand them. And sadly, in this country, you know, a number of the things that are lying around are hazardous leftovers from the war.
Edward Taban, the head of J Family Group, says he's pleased to educate people about landmines. Taban, also known as TBZ, says it is easy to educate the masses through songs.
Those people who cannot access to come or to such events like this, they can be able to get them through the radios. Yeah, that's why we came up with such initiative of composing song, putting this message into the song so that everyone can get satisfied about the dangers of mine.
UNIMAS has destroyed more than 4 million explosive devices, including 40,000 mines and more than 3 million small arms ammunition since 2004 in South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Ruakarinj in Juba.
That's our show for this Thursday, and we'll leave you with the song Anagai. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. I got
Kigali suits her good, like a King Kazuru. Almufeli style, like a Ghanaian, Walter Nian, Tala Mufeli.